On 1 Corinthians 11th chapter. Church at Corinth had a lot of problems. It was so bad, I wonder about calling it a church even, but they did have that distinction. They were. It had a lot of things going on. Seemed like they wanted to go back one thing to the letter of the law and try to keep part of it. And just on and on, kind of like some of the worldly churches that are around today. Want to do this and that and the other. None of it having much effect, because it didn't have the truth in it. That's the problem always with it, is they leave off the truth. If they follow the truth, then problem. A few verses here in verse 16. He said, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God, neither one. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Several years ago when I first read this and considered it at all, I thought, this must be something wrong with this verse. There must be heresies among you. I'm thinking, no other thing ought not be any among you. But that's the way it is. There must be heresies among you. It's going to be heresies among you. Now, they were, right here, were having a little problem with the Lord's Supper. And they were just feeding and feasting. One didn't have enough. Another had too much. And on and on, and showing off. That's what I call it. That's good old East Texas term, showing off. That's what they were doing, one against the other one. And they weren't coming together for any good at all. If the sincerity of the supper isn't there, then it doesn't amount to anything. It's absolutely worthless, because it's showing the purity that was in Christ Jesus, the Lord's Supper. They were falling off into everything besides what they ought to be doing. It was totally, looked like worldly. It had turned from what the Apostle Paul had taught under worldly things. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 1, he said, beloved, believe not every spirit. This is kind of addressing what we just read. He said, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. That's what we just read. It must be. It must be. And even now already it is in the world, that spirit of Antichrist. And it hadn't diminished one bit. Matter of fact, I think he's busier. Old devil's busier now because he knows the time is short. That's what Scripture said. He's working harder and harder all the time to promote disagreements and just little petty stuff. I might inject this now. Sometimes you can judge too harshly with the church. Let me give you an example. I mentioned a while back about getting your hair cut. Well, yeah, a man ought not have long hair. He ought to have a decent haircut, I think. But here's the next question: how short should you get it? What people wear? What brand has it got to be? Now, do we gonna have to all wear a suit? A brother here said, "Well, wear a tie." I kind of ruled that out. not gonna be necessary, I believe, to wear a tie. But we can go on. I mean, that's just, you know, a little something. But we can get sidetracked on all kinds of stuff and judge in a manner that wouldn't be good for the church. What it says is, when you come together, do it decently and in order. Now, whether you wear blue jeans or khakis, I kind of prefer khakis myself, or a suit, let's come together for the same purpose, to glorify God. There's all, you know, there's all kind of little stuff out there. Some of them got to have the ladies got to have a hair way up in a bun. They say it, they got to look different. You will look different if you're in Christ Jesus. The world is not in tune with that. So you will look different. You're a peculiar people. But you don't have to go around wearing it on your shirt sleeve. That's what the Sadducees and the Pharisees were accused of, going around with long flowing gowns and scriptures all up on their sleeves and all that stuff. Well, they are not true. Must be in heart, not on the sleeve. It must be in heart, not in the clothing. It must be in the heart. In the heart, always in the heart. Hereby we know the Spirit. If it comes together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for it. But there's many antichrists in the world. I marvel sometime. Got a little church in our community. It's a pretty loose-knit thing, but I teach there all the time. I don't go there. But I got a good friend that goes there. And hardly a week goes by and he doesn't ask me something, and a lot of it is pertaining to this same foolishness that I'm talking about. What about this and what about what? What about the women speaking in the church? Well, Scripture's quite clear. And there was a woman ordained by Christ or by the disciples, the apostles. But that ought not keep them from even speaking in the church. It ought not keep them from voting in the business meeting. They're not to usurp authority over the man, and especially over the preacher, over the teacher that God has put forth to teach them. But I teach there all the time, just in such things as this. But beloved, believe not every spirit, but try. There's a thing, try the spirit. We got a school teacher always taking notes. I'm glad to see that. Go home, see if it's right. Try it. See if it be right. We ought always to verify what he said. See if it be true, so we know how we ought to act in the church of the living God. Amen. That's the whole purpose of it, how we ought to act. 1 Peter. The 4th chapter. In verse 11. And if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. But in verse 12 he said, beloved, think it not strange concerning a fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as murderer or thief or as evildoers or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Well, it's a pretty serious thing, isn't it? This not just frivolous stuff we're talking about. We all know how to act in the church of God. We ought to be humbled when we come before the throne of God. All these other things, they're in material. They don't amount to anything. But for the time it's come, it must begin at the house of God. This is where the sore punishment or the sore judgment is going to be, is in the house of God, because we handle the Word of God and we ought to know better. We ought to do things that are pleasing in the sight of God. Love the brethren. Love them as yourself. But fiery trials. Come and think about Job. Have you not heard of the patience of Job? All of a sudden, folks have come and tell him, man, the Sabaeans have come down and got you all your camels and your servants, and on, everything, and the sheep, and finally got down to a house where his children, his sons, and some of them were eating and drinking. And come up a little wind and blew the four corners out of it, and the house fell on them and killed them all. If the Lee brothers had built that, might not happen. But fell down on them, killed them all. And fire come down from God, it said. Now, take that in. It didn't just come down accidentally. It come down from God. And then we think we have trials. Have you heard of the patience of Job? We don't have anything. Nothing. We had it done. I think, you know, when I was a boy, I'd have poison. I'd get it every spring. I didn't have to go around it. I'd just get it. And when I'd get it, I'd turn to one solid blister from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. It looked like I was going to rot away. And I think about old Job. He's sitting there scraping his sores with a potsherd. And I can sympathize with him. Man. But it wasn't nothing. My little poison, it wasn't anything. I got over it. You know, every year, a couple of weeks, I'd finally begin to clear up and heal up. But when I was pretty young, I first got that so bad, I thought, man, I'm going to rot away. Be gone. But anyway, get back to the point. We suffer these things. Heresies must be that it must try us. Always try to see if we be in the faith. Without faith, no man's going to enter in without faith. So it must be tried. It must be true. In the fifth chapter then of Peter, First Peter, in verse 5, he said, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with the humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who calleth us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Need to be established so we don't go off on these little tangents of judging things wrongly. We ought to be careful to judge the spirit to see if it be a godly spirit or a devilish spirit. Always trying the spirits. In the book of Deuteronomy, then, in the 8th chapter, in verse 1 again. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. Now, out there wandering around, if you ever looked at the old map somebody drew in a lot of documents, old map show them they just wandering around all out. And they said, well, I won't go this way. We don't go that way. We'll go way around here. And they wandered around all after all them years in the wilderness. Why was that? He said, to humble thee. Do we not need to go into the wilderness every once in a while to be humbled? To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandment or no. We need to judge what's in the heart, not what's on the body, but what's in the heart. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. They didn't even know where it come from. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That's what we feed upon. If we're going to do the Lord's Supper, we want to do it rightly. We want to do it in remembrance of the one that gave himself for us. It ought to be done properly. True enough, but once again, I'd encourage you not to judge in a manner that would not bring glory to God. Have a good judgment. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in all his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into the good land, a land of brooks and water, in fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills, in a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. Well, the Lord blesses if we keep his commandment. He's always ready to give us a blessing. Sometimes it takes us a while to find it. Sometimes it takes us a while to see it. Sometimes we go quite a ways, have to look back sometime to see it. But the Lord's always ready to leave a blessing. That was the deal with Israel. Why didn't he go in and possess the land? They're still leaning on circumcision or something else. Sacrifice and offering wasn't what the Lord desired. What he desired was a true heart, a sincere heart. But the Lord makes his people to know the truth. That's the reason he sent pastors and teachers and so on and so forth, that we might know, that we might know how we ought to act in the church of the living God. And in Psalms 119, by the way, we're coming right along in the Psalm. We're in 19th chapter now. In verse 65 is where I wanted to go. Thou shalt deal well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment, knowledge. For I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept the word, thy word. Thou art good, and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me. But I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is fat as grease. That's pretty fat, isn't it? Fat as grease. But I delight in thy law. It's good for me. That I have been afflicted. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Lord's always chastising his people. Well, as a son, always turning us around, bringing us back. What to? Word of the Lord, where truth is found, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and of silver. In the book of Hosea, 5th chapter, I guess in verse 13, Yeah, 13, we'll begin there. When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb, yet could he not heal you, nor cure you of your wounds. That's what we often do, don't we? We go looking for something. Looking for some help in the wrong places. Israel kept on doing it, going down into Egypt and elsewhere, always looking for something else. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place. Lord speaking here now himself. They don't act right. I'm fixing to punish them severely. I'm going to do something to them. Make them listen. That's the way the Lord does his people. That's the mercy that is in it that He is always turning his people and rescuing them. And he said, now go away and I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Lord's going to do it just right. He's going to turn them around, and they're going to do it early. They will do it early. So all these things that we begin with, don't let them trip you up. Don't let the devil come in and tell you you need to do this or that or the other little thing, get you going down the worldly road. Stay true to the gospel. The gospel. The preaching. The good news that has come unto the Lord's people. See, the gospel wasn't written to all men. It is written to his people. I'm going to save my people. And I'm going to save them from their sin. So he's going to keep on working with his people to turn them, and they will seek him early.